T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
7:12 now, Holy Thursday morning. Beautiful day ahead. Highs between 70 and 72. Another perfect springtime day. Warming a little bit through the Easter weekend. No rain. Easter Sunday itself, I'd probably plan on the shorts if I were you. If you could do something outside, highs of 80, 85-ish, and some humidity, so it's going to feel warmer than that. Right now, we're hanging at about 60 degrees, and we're joined by Tom Galligan, an LSU law professor. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us as we talk about the disaster that happened in Baltimore with the Francis Scott Key Bridge and the Singapore-flagged cargo ship, the Dolly. And I'll just remind our listeners that tomorrow we're going to talk to Walter Leger, who has dealt with some of these incidents and actually, I guess, been involved in the litigation. So we'll get that aspect of it as well. But today we're talking to Professor Galligan. And Professor, when it comes to, I guess, this ship being flagged from Singapore and maritime law, it's completely different than regular conventional law, correct?
Well, it is very different from regular law. I mean, a lot of our law derives from it, since it's one of the oldest bodies of law in the world. But yes, yeah, it's certainly different. Yeah.
So, first of all, I know Joe Biden has gotten, President Biden's gotten some pushback, partisan pushback, because he said the federal government was going to pay to rebuild the bridge. Just so people understand, I think he was talking about fronting the money, because if he were to, and I'm not trying to draw you in a political discussion here, but from a timeline standpoint, given the importance of the bridge, the importance of the port, if he were to wait for all of this to play out legally before deciding that the construction on a new bridge would start, how long of a time period could we be talking about here?
It could potentially take years legally. I think from just a practical sense, somebody's going to have to do something way before this thing gets sorted out legally.
How do you even, because this, when you say years, I mean, I don't see how anything happens unless you have a quick settlement within 5 years of this. Would there be?
Conceivably there could be some sort of settlement with some of the entities. But I would say 5 years is not an unrealistic time frame. That may even be optimistic.
That's what I was going to say. I thought optimistic. Let's talk about this Titanic law that we've heard a lot about, and I don't know if it really applies here. Explain to people what that is, and I guess take us through the whole process, if you would, Professor, about how do you even begin to sort all of this out? So the bridge loses steering. The ship loses steering, hits the bridge. People die as a result of it. The bridge is destroyed. The ship is damaged. What happens from here in terms of determining liability and who pays for what, how, when?
Yeah, it's really complex. And I think if we weren't in Admiralty, what we would say is folks who were affected, the injured workers, looks like the families of the deceased workers, would file suit against the operators of the vessel, maybe others. And it would take years to sort that out. In the meantime, the folks who own the bridge owners, are going to be coming after the vessel to pay for the bridge. But it is an admiralty. So what does that mean? It means that if the vessel owner chooses, it can file a proceeding in federal court called a Limitation of Liability Act proceeding. And it can basically, at least in the first instance, make everybody who has a claim litigate against them in that one limitation of liability proceeding. It's called a concursus. Now, I haven't even gotten into the Titanic law. If you want me to sort of get into that a little bit,
I'll let you give me a recap of the concursus because I'm still a little bit glassy-eyed over that one.
Okay. A vessel owner can file a lawsuit. It's got to be in federal court to limit its liability and to the post-accident value of the vessel. So say you and I had a sailboat and we wrecked it and somebody threatened to sue us, we could petition to limit our liability. And let's say that sailboat's sitting in the bottom of Lake Pontchartrain and it's worth $100. That's going to be the limit of our liability. It's an old law. It was passed in 1851. It's really harsh. And the only way you get out of limiting the liability is if the claimants have to prove that the vessel owner was personally at fault. Now, for me and you owning the sailboat, that's pretty easy because we're sailing it. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about a corporation, it's tougher because you have to prove somebody high up in the sort of corporate ladder of responsibility knew what was going on and was at fault. Otherwise, they can limit their liability. You see, it is kind of complex, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we wanted to have you on. So where does this Titanic law fit into that?
The Titanic law, they're kind of, when we talk admiralty, there's sort of two Titanic laws. And Titanic sunk in 1912. And years later in 1920, Congress created a wrongful death statute. But that's only for the high seas. Mm-hmm. But what they also did in the wake of the Titanic was they said back to that limitation of liability thing where our sailboat sinks and it's only worth $100. Congress also said if you have somebody who suffers personal injury or who dies and their survivors are suing and you limit we limit our liability for the personal injury and wrongful death claimants, we have to come up with at least $420 per ton for that class of claimants. And so in this case, that class of claimants would be the two injured workers and the families of the six who tragically lost their lives.
That value was set in 1912?
I think 1920 is when the wrongful death statute was passed. I think what they call the loss of life amendments came along a little bit after that or about that time.
I guess,
but the value's been increased. Congress has increased it a few times, but we're now at 420 and that's it.
Okay.
So if let's say the ship was 1,000 tons, they'd have to come up with at least $420,000 for the personal injury and death claimants.
Per person or total?
Per total. Claim?
Total. Wow.
Total for the class of people.
All right. It's very friendly toward the shipping industry, admiralty law, I guess, right? It seems like it.
Well, this part of admiralty law is very, very friendly towards the shipping industry. But if they could prove, the claimants could prove that the owner knew about the problems with alleged problems, and we don't know what happened yet, so I'm hypothetically knew about some problem with the engine and didn't fix it, then that wouldn't be so friendly to the owner. The owner would be liable for all of the damages caused.
Now, let me take a break. We'll digest what we've heard so far. I want to talk about, boy, just how do you determine liability from here? And the insurance companies, where do they fit into this? Because I would think the owner is going to be insured, and they want their insurance company to handle this. The insurance company is going to bail out when the limit of the policy hits. If there was a mechanical fault on the ship that could not have been foreseen, then maybe the owners go to the company that manufactured the steering or something. I don't know. We'll talk about all that when we come back. Tom Galligan, LSU law professor, helping us understand who's likely to be at fault for the Baltimore disaster. And I think so far we can pretty well determine that somebody needs to step up and front the money to build this bridge back and open that harbor, or else there's going to be some long-term consequences on this if you wait for all of this to be hashed out in court. 721 traffic now, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
726, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Professor Tom Galligan. LSU law professor talking about the legal maneuverings, I guess, after the accident that injured two, killed six, Professor, I get that right?
I think that's exactly right, sadly, yes.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge, the Singapore-flagged cargo ship Dolly, as I understand it, the bow of that vessel is resting on the bottom. I don't even know where to start here. When it comes to admiralty law and maritime law, are we using those terms interchangeably?
We are. Basically, we are.
Okay, and when we say that the ship was flying a Singapore flag, does that matter at all, or does the whole world, most civilized countries, agree to adhere to maritime law when it comes to shipping?
Yeah, most there are international sort of rules, and there are also obviously domestic rules. When the Singapore ship is in the port of Baltimore, American admiralty law is probably going to apply. And the flag of the ship, Tommy, they flag in various places. They frequently flag, this ship at least had connections to Singapore, but you hear all the time about, you know, flagged in Panama, flagged in Liberia, flagged in the Marshall Islands. Ships are flagged all over the place, and typically, they're flagged where it's the easiest to get flagged.
Yeah, that doesn't tell you a whole lot about it, does it, necessarily, where it's flagged?
It doesn't tell you much about it at all. So it doesn't tell you who owns it. It doesn't tell you who's operating it. So, for instance, here, you have an owner. Then you have Synergy Group, which is operating the ship. And then you have Maersk, which had chartered the ship. So you have all the cargo. So you've got at least three people involved in, I will call it, the transportation function of the ship.
So from that point, who has a claim here? How far does that extend?
Well, the claims, the families and the two injured victims will have claims. The bridge owner will certainly have a claim. What may end up being billions of dollars of disruption in economy, in economic impact, probably there's no claim there. If the U.S. government, the Coast Guard, and the government have to clean this thing up, and that's costly, they'll come after the ship owners and operators for that as well. So there are a lot of claims here.
So how would the U.S. government get its money back if the government fronts the money, and I think they have to get the bridge back up and get the harbor open again? How do they get their money back, or will they ever, because of this limit of liability?
I can't answer the question. You asked a great question to which the answer is very unclear. The U.S. government could fund, you can imagine, maybe they front the money to the state. The state fixes it. and the state agrees, if they pursue the claim and they get any recovery, they'll pay the U.S. government back. Highly unlikely there's going to be enough money out there to pay for all the damages that folks have incurred as a result of this disaster.
Only 30 seconds left, Professor. What court hears this? Where do they bring this?
They probably will and this is all speculative. It hadn't happened yet. They'll probably start in a U.S. district court, maybe in Maryland, and then various of the folks who are hauled in there will say, hey, can we proceed in state court? In a case like this, probably won't be able to. So it would probably all be litigated in one central court, like the Deepwater Horizon. The litigation was in the Eastern District before Judge Barbier. So that's probably a very similar thing will probably happen.
And let me alert news. We're going to be about a minute late here. Professor, I got to ask you, is this something that would lend itself to a special master being appointed since you mentioned the Deepwater Horizon?
Yeah, absolutely. There, in fact, there may even be several special masters for various purposes to figure this whole thing out.
Boy, it's a mess. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I really do. Have a good Easter weekend.
Yes. Thanks for having me. You too.
You bet. Tom Gallagher, an LSU law professor. Tomorrow we'll talk to Walt Leger, who is a noted maritime lawyer who's been involved in several of these cases. So we'll talk about what it's like in the courtroom and how these things play out. Thanks to the professor for coming on this morning. When we come back, we'll talk to Monica Hoff-Wallace, another professor of law, about the Wisner Trust and what's going on between the city council and the mayor's office. Right now, time for WWL First News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.